Welcome to Transformed by Grace, an in-depth Bible study of God's Word presented by the Berean Bible Society. Join us each time on this station as Pastor Kevin brings the transforming message of God's grace revealed through the Holy Scriptures.
Foreigner once visited Jerusalem. He hailed a taxi. Getting in, the driver asked him where he wanted to go. The man replied, "Take me to that place in Jerusalem where everybody cries." The taxi driver said, "Okay." And then he dropped him off at a tax office. In 2018, I traveled to Israel for a tour with a group of pastors and church leaders. And my father-in-law, who pastors a Grace Church north of Green Bay, Wisconsin, also came along, and we roomed together for the trip. One of the tour days, we went to the Western Wall, or the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem. The Western Wall is very significant in Judaism because of its proximity to the Temple Mount. As a result of the Temple Mount entry restrictions, the Western Wall is the holiest place where Jews are permitted to pray. The day we were there, there were many Jewish men praying at the wall. There are many pulpits and chairs there for men to read and study from the Torah or the Talmud. And there was a bar mitzvah ceremony being celebrated the day we were visiting the wall, too. It stirred my heart looking at all these Jewish men caught up in their religion, putting themselves under the law, having rejected the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I was reminded, as I looked at the scene, of Paul's words that my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. And the thought crossed my mind that to be truly Pauline, we should have a heart for the Jews. We should have a desire for them to be saved. My father-in-law and I worked our way together through the crowd of men to go up to the wall. We saw the papers with prayers on them stuffed in between the stones. Standing there in the midst of all these devout Jewish men practicing Judaism, my father-in-law looked around and then about as loud as he could say it, shouted, "I'm so glad to be a Gentile under grace." It startled me. For a second, I wondered if a riot might begin. But then I thought about what he said. And I thought, he's right. What a privilege. We Gentiles have been given, under grace, to have a relationship with the living God. And it's because after temporarily setting his program with Israel aside because of their unbelief, God chose to have a program with the Gentiles by grace. Without God doing this, we would have remained in the condition of Gentiles in the past, as Ephesians 2:12 explains, being without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Romans 11 has much to say about what happened to Israel and what will happen to Israel in the future. Romans 11, 1-6 says, "I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people which he foreknew. What, ye not what the scripture saith of Elias?" Paul asks the question here, has God cast away his people Israel? The words cast away mean to push off and to drive away from oneself. Paul is asking if God has completely and permanently pushed Israel away from himself. And his answer, by the authority of God, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is very clear. God forbid. Certainly not. And then Paul uses himself as an example and proof of this. He says that God has not cast me away. This is a very personal question to Paul, who is an Israelite of the tribe of Benjamin, about God casting Israel away. The fact that Paul was saved and that he belonged to God was testament that Israel was not pushed away and cast away permanently away from God. And this showed to Paul And it shows to us now that the door is wide open under grace for Israelites to be saved by the grace of God. And Paul says very plainly in verse 2 that God hath not cast away his people which he foreknew. God had planned and purposed many things for Israel. Some have been fulfilled, many things have not. God has not permanently cast Israel away. He is preserving Israel because he must and he will fulfill all his promises to her in the future. In verse 2, Paul asks, "What? Or know ye not what the scripture saith?" With the question of what happened to Israel, God's word is where we need to find the answer. We need to be careful to not allow our thoughts, our opinions, our ideas, our observations of Israel's current condition to influence the answer to this question. God's word is the authority and is where we must turn. Romans 11:11-15 reads, "I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead?" Paul wrote, "Have they stumbled?" And that brings our attention back to Romans 9:32-33 of the stumbling stone. "For they stumbled at that stumbling stone, as it is written, Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." In Israel's rejection and unbelief of Christ, Israel stumbled and she fell. Paul asked, "Have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles." The word fall is found twice in verse 11, and they have two different meanings. The first word fall in the original Greek means a permanent fall, to fall under judgment, to perish, to come to an end, to fall beyond recovery. Paul asked, "Is this how Israel fell? Have they stumbled in their unbelief of Christ and fallen permanently?" In other words, is God finished with Israel? And Paul's strong answer on the authority of God by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit is no, God forbid. Paul doesn't deny the fall of Israel, but he vigorously opposed the idea that God is through with Israel forever. Instead, he wrote, "But rather through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles." The second word fall is a different Greek word altogether from the first word fall. The second fall means a temporary fall and to fall alongside. Israel has fallen and been set aside only temporarily. She's going to get back up. One day she will recover from her present fallen condition and rise to great glory when God fulfills his promises to and through her. And that word falling alongside is interesting because Israel has fallen from her place of supremacy over the nations, over the Gentiles, from Israel being the apple of God's eye, from Gentiles having to come through Israel to be saved, to now Israel that once had that position of supremacy and prominence, to now she has fallen alongside the Gentiles. So that today they are on the same level and there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. No longer does the Gentile need to come through Israel to be saved. With Israel set aside, God is dealing with people from all nations individually today. And Paul wrote in Romans 10:12-13, "There is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Paul points out in these verses that Israel's fall and loss was the Gentiles' gain, because through their temporary fall, salvation's come unto the Gentiles, or the nations. God has temporarily set Israel aside in order to have a program of grace with the nations of the world, and we have been given this blessed opportunity. And Paul said that it was for the purpose to provoke them to jealousy. And that goes right back to Paul's heart for Israel, that they might be saved. Because his hope was that with the Jews seeing Gentiles saved by the grace of God, apart from Israel, apart from the law, apart from works, showing that God's plan had changed, that God had turned to the nations, his hope was that it would provoke Israel to jealousy by the Spirit working in their heart, that they might turn and seek the Lord, that the Jews might be drawn to faith in Christ alone through the gospel of grace.
We'll be returning to the program in just a minute, but first we'd like to take this time to thank you, our partners, for making these programs possible. If you would like to access our library of helpful Bible study tools, go to BereanBibleSociety.org.
Daily Transformation is a paperback 412-page book written by Pastor John Fredrickson. We welcome you as you journey with us through the pages of this devotional to not only learn information, but to benefit from examples of faith and failure and seek to apply God's Word to everyday life. Together, let's transition from only studying theories of doctrine to applying God's truths in a practical way. May God use these studies to help you find daily transformation. To order your copy, contact the Berean Bible Society for pricing and availability at 262-255-4750 or visit our website at www.bereanbiblesociety.org.
To receive our free full-color 32-page monthly magazine, The Berean Searchlight, call 262-255-4750 or subscribe online at www.BereanBibleSociety.org. Thank you again for your generous gifts. And now, back to the teaching with Pastor Kevin.
In verse 12, Paul wrote that the fall of Israel has resulted in the riches of the world. As in and through this dispensation, God chose to lavish the world with the riches of His grace. He makes salvation available to all by grace through faith, and then He blesses those who believe richly in Christ. Paul speaks of Israel's diminishing in verse 12, resulting in the riches of the Gentiles. Her place of prominence and supremacy in God's program and dealings with mankind has diminished. In the past, God's plan was to bless the world through Israel's rise. And this will take place in the future in the kingdom on the earth, Isaiah 60, verse 3. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. But today, through her temporary fall under grace, blessing and riches has been poured out on the nations by the gospel of the grace of God, and God offering grace and peace to all, so that anyone can be saved by faith alone and have a personal relationship with the living God as His child and members of Christ's body. Notice, though, what Paul teaches at the end of verse 12, that if the world has received God's riches and His salvation through Israel's fall, imagine how the world will be blessed when Israel rises to her fullness. And that will take place within Christ's millennial kingdom. Far from saying that God is through with Israel, Paul speaks of her fullness. When Israel stands back up from her fall after the rapture, when she rises to her fullness as the head of the nations, and God fulfills all His promises to her, and she is that bright light to the world that He wanted her to be. Verse 13, Paul says, I speak to you Gentiles, because he's the apostle of the Gentiles. The reason he says that is it's in light of the context of the riches of the Gentiles and salvation coming to the Gentiles. Paul's ministry as an apostle was to the nations, to the Gentiles. He took God's salvation to the Gentiles as an apostle. And the apostle Paul made known in his letters the spiritual riches in Christ that are ours as Gentiles in the body of Christ. Paul is the apostle of the Gentiles. We are Gentiles, people of the nations. Paul is our apostle. When Paul is writing in God's word, he is speaking to you Gentiles under grace. He is revealing God's will, God's plan for us Gentiles in the body of Christ under grace. And Paul magnifies not himself, but his office to which the Lord Jesus Christ called him. But sadly, in the church as a whole, Paul's apostleship is not magnified. It is minimized. And no matter the denomination, the apostleship that is magnified by the church today is Peter's, not Paul's. But if we want to know the mind and will of God for us Gentiles under grace, we need to look to the apostle of the Gentiles who is speaking to us, which is the apostle Paul. And Paul points out a purpose of his apostleship here. If by any means I may provoke to emulation or jealousy them which are my flesh and might save some. Paul's heart and mind never strayed far from his desire for Israel to be saved. He says, if by any means, his prayer was that by his ministry to the Gentiles, with the Jewish people seeing Gentiles saved by the grace of God, that it would make Israel so jealous that some might wonder why and how these Gentiles are being saved, so that they might desire the truth and so that they might be drawn to it and find it and be saved. Paul said in verses 11 and 12 that Israel's fall resulted in salvation of the Gentiles and riches of the world. In verse 15, he wrote that the temporary casting away of Israel has resulted in reconciliation and God saving people from the nations by the cross. Reconciling the world doesn't mean that the world is automatically saved by the death of Christ. It means that God has done his part in removing the enmity, all barriers, and paying the price for sin by the death of his Son, our Savior, at the cross. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, 2 Corinthians 5:19 says. Now anyone in the world can be reconciled to God. But to make the reconciliation complete, you must make the personal decision to trust what Christ did for you, that he died for your sins and rose again the third day. At that moment, you are reconciled to God. Casting away Israel for a time has resulted in the message and ministry of reconciliation and all the world having the opportunity to be reconciled to God by faith alone in Christ. But then Paul adds that if Israel's fall resulted in this incredible blessing of reconciliation for the world being made possible, just think what the receiving of Israel will result in. When Israel is restored in the millennial reign, it will be like worldwide regeneration and resurrection. The world will burst forth into new life when Israel's Messiah, the resurrection and the life, reigns. And when Israel is restored to her favored position and they reign with him on the earth. Romans 11, 25 to 29 says, "For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. A question pertaining to what happened to Israel is, what happened in 1948 when the state of Israel was established? And how I would answer that is that Israel being back in the land today is not the fulfillment of any Bible prophecy. Under grace, we live in an unprophesied age in dispensation in which national Israel is set aside, and no prophecy for Israel, for the future tribulation or the earthly kingdom, is being fulfilled today. After the rapture of the church, that's when prophecy to Israel again will be fulfilled to the letter. Having said that, after personally visiting Israel, I could see how their presence in the land could be used by the Lord. Their partial presence in the land could be setting the stage for fulfillment of future prophecy, and God could use it for fulfilling His word after the rapture of the church. But Israel is not back in the land the way they'll be back in the land, according to prophecy, when their Messiah regathers them there for His millennial kingdom. When Christ gathers Israel back into the land, Matthew 24:31 teaches, He shall send His angels, and they shall gather together His elect, or believing Israel, from the four winds. And they are gathered to bring them to the promised land for Christ's kingdom. While some of Israel is back in the land today, it's like what Paul said in Romans 9:6-7, they are not all Israel which are of Israel, neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children. Israel is a spiritually dark country who continues in their rejection of Jesus Christ. And they, like every other nation today, need Christ. They need the gospel. They need missionaries. They need the body of Christ to reach out to them with the saving gospel of grace. In verse 25, Paul points out an aspect of the revelation of the mystery, which had been kept secret since the world began. And it is that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. The mystery is not the fall of Israel. Her fall, according to prophecy, was supposed to result in the tribulation, the time of Jacob's or Israel's trouble. The mystery, what was never made known before Paul, was that after Israel's fall, that God would turn to the Gentiles and usher in a dispensation of grace. That was a secret. That was absolutely unknown in the past. Paul points out here that blindness for Israel under grace is only in part, because not all Jews are blind. There are believing Jews in this dispensation who have trusted the gospel of grace. Those who have trusted Christ were blind, but now they see. Israel's national blindness after her fall is only temporary, though. Paul writes that it is until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Until is a time word. This period of blindness, in part for Israel, is only until the full number of the Gentiles has come in. This refers to the completion of God's program with the Gentiles, the dispensation of grace to the nations. When the body of Christ is full and complete, the church will be caught away at the rapture. After the church is caught away to heaven, God's program with Israel will resume, and God will restore Israel. And the prophecies concerning Israel, the seven-year tribulation, and the thousand-year kingdom on the earth will all be literally fulfilled. And so all Israel shall be saved, Paul wrote. Again, Romans 9:6 says, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel. All Israel being saved refers to the believing remnant which survives the tribulation when unbelievers are purged out of Israel. And when Christ the Deliverer returns to the earth at his second coming to save Israel and establish his millennial kingdom. And all Israel being saved also refers to believing Israel. All believing Israel from God's prophetic program, who are raised from the dead to enter Christ's earthly kingdom. In that day, all Israel shall be saved. And there shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Jesus Christ, Israel's Deliverer, will reign in Zion and Jerusalem in his literal 1,000-year kingdom on this earth. With Christ reigning as king, Israel will be the apple of God's eye. He will turn away all ungodliness because Israel will be a holy nation, a kingdom of priests, and a blessing to all the nations of the earth. Then finally, Paul wrote in verse 29, "For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. God cannot and will not change his mind or go back on his word and his promises to Israel. The gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. They cannot be rescinded. Israel will be restored. All prophecy will be fulfilled. Nothing can change his purposes. God does not revoke his promises. He does not recall the gifts he has given, because God is faithful." What happened to Israel? God's program with that nation was temporarily set aside because of her unbelief. God then turned to the Gentiles to have a program with the nations by grace. After the rapture of the church, God will restore Israel and his program with her and fulfill everything in his word that he promised her. Because of God's mercy to us Gentiles, because of the wisdom and greatness of God's plans and purposes, and because of his faithfulness to Israel, we should break out in praise like Paul praises God at the end of Romans 11. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen.
Thank you again for tuning in to Transformed by Grace. We appreciate your prayer support and the financial gifts. The purpose and mission of the Berean Bible Society is to help you understand the whole counsel of the Word of God. For more information, visit our website at www.BereanBibleSociety.org or give us a call at 262-255-4750. Or if you prefer, write us at the Berean Bible Society, P.O. Box 756, Germantown, Wisconsin, 53022. Now until next time, may you be transformed by God's grace.